Appendix A. Abortion as sacrament, in their own words. The materials in this appendix attempt to make clear the demonic nature of those who practice or advocate abortion. These quotes do not mean that everyone who is in favor of abortion has similar diabolical ideas. Indeed, there are many reasons why people are in favor of abortion, most of them just misguided. However, the shocking testimonies of some of the extreme advocates of baby killing should help us all to see that we are dealing with human beings under the influence of the principalities and powers, the rulers of this world of darkness. The author urges all who read this appendix to pray for the salvation of the individuals cited below and for all who advocate abortion. Abortion is worth going to hell for. Sidewalk counselor. You can't go to heaven unrepentant, George. You are going to hell. Abortionist George Tiller. Abortion is worth going to hell for. Conversation on the morning of January 22, 2003, outside George Tiller's third trimester abortion mill, described in Operation Rescue West media advisory dated February 11, 2003. If women were in charge. The seeds of goodness and truth and beauty, even as we gather here, are being sown. If women had made the rules, if women had written the sacred texts, if women had been the architects of religion and state, sexuality would be understood as sacramental. So too would the act of lovemaking, whether heterosexual or homosexual. So too would conception, miscarrying, and birth. Abortion would be a sacrament if women were in charge. Abortion should be a sacrament, even today. I suspect that for many women today, and for their spouses, lovers, families, and communities, abortion is celebrated as such, an occasion of deep and serious and sacred meaning. Carter Hayward, Episcopalian priest, speaking at the 9th Annual Meeting of the National Abortion Federation, January 9th through 12th, 1985. The Holy Abortionist. Abortion is a sacred rite that has been performed by women for centuries. The midwife, healer, shaman, or witch is the holy abortionist. She has been hounded by Christians for millennia. It is time for this witch hunt to end. With the help of the holy abortionist, in the form of the death goddess, the crone, or the Medusa, we will overcome this new onslaught by the Christian fanatics. Century after century, these zealots try to impose their feeble morality on women. They claim that God has sovereign power over issues of life and death. This is far from the truth. Women as the goddess incarnate in all her forms, and in particular, in the shape of the hag, shrew, or fury who devours life in her gaping mouth with her sharp fangs, has sovereign power over issues of life and death. Let us not forget that when she decides her children are fated to die, so be it. Like Lilith, she mercifully robs them of their breath. We are all on loan here, and the death goddess must protect her own interests. No one can argue with the whirlwind who sweeps the doomed away. Her word is law. Today we hope to invoke the wisdom and justice of the sacred abortionist, and in defense of women, we scoff at these hysterical Christians. All hope for an overpopulated planet is born in the darkness of her lethal grasp. Praise loudly the victorious destroyer of unwanted and unneeded children. She who has the right of jurisdiction owns the souls of this earthly tribe. With sickle in hand, she seizes the sated and weary souls of the damned. These Christians here today only make her job more difficult than it needs to be. Like a goblin mother, she who suckles the stillborn babe and comforts the mad and possessed. The nature of desire, the truth of life itself, has always been death. The all-seeing one who demands responsibility from those who procreate and overpopulate this overburdened planet. These misguided Christians think they can strike a bargain with the grave, shriek at the whirlwind, bellow and screech at the all-devouring one, the fearful one. The holy abortionist is deaf to their pleading and will win in the end. Nevada Kerr, Abortion as a Sacred Rite, excerpted from the Collected Sayings of Mudabib by the Princess Erlin, found at the Truly Sick website, churchofeuthanasia.org. a sermon to abortion providers. I want to thank all of you who protect this blessing of abortion, who do this work every day, the healthcare providers, doctors, nurses, technicians, receptionists, who put your lives on the line to care for others. You are heroes in my eyes. You are saints. The escorts and the activists, the lobbyists and the clinic defenders, all of you, you are engaged in holy work. Reverend Catherine Ragsdale, Episcopalian priest, cited in the American Spectator article, High Priestess of Abortion, May 8, 2009. God rejoices in a woman's choice to abort. After reading the 3 June article, Pregnancy Loss Prayers, I found the text for Rachel's Tears online and was sickened to discover that the right for abortion is couched wholly in terms of sin and transgression. The Episcopal Church, by resolution, has long held that women have the freedom to choose an abortion. It is not considered a sin that this new right begins with the words, I seek God's forgiveness, and includes, God rejoices that you have come seeking God's merciful forgiveness, is contrary to the resolution. Women should be able to mourn the loss of an aborted fetus without having to confess anything. God, unlike what the liturgy states, also rejoices that women facing unplanned pregnancies have the freedom to carefully choose the best option, birth, adoption, or abortion, for themselves and their families. No woman makes this decision lightly or frivolously, but each needs the non-judgmental and non-coercive support of her faith community to make the best decision for her circumstances. The wording of this liturgy focuses solely on guilt and sin instead of the grief and healing that may accompany a very difficult but appropriate decision to terminate a pregnancy. If anyone is paying attention at this general convention, this rite should not be approved. Reverend Nina Churchman, Episcopal priest, June 24, 2009. A major blessing. Abortion is a major blessing and a sacrament in the hands of women. At the very crucible of the sacrament of abortion work is that some women have an abortion out of love for the baby, some out of love for the children they already have and are having a hard time feeding. They love what they are getting from their education, and they know they can't stop it. Patricia Waird Windle, former owner of 3 abortuaries, quoted in an August 29, 1999 interview with Florida Today. And in The Sacrament of Abortion, LifeSite Daily News, August 31, 1999. From the book, Abortion is a Blessing, to a Radical Feminist. The stories of hundreds of women that I have counseled personally and the thousands of women from all over the country that I have talked to on the phone have resulted in my clear understanding that abortion is a positive thing, a cure, a blessing. I have become impatient not only with those religious zealots who tirelessly hiss murderers, but with those apologists who, while granting the right to abortion, insist that somehow a woman must feel guilt and remorse. I have come to suspect that the persons who refer to abortion as a tragic option or a terrible alternative hold allegiance not to women's freedom, but to a male-dominated world gone by. Birth control and abortion are our greatest steps forward in a social and moral progress since we freed the slaves. A woman's right to control her own reproductive life is a blessing for her, and a blessing for society. There is no reason to be bashful or apologetic about supporting women's freedom to choose abortion. There is every reason to be ashamed of supporting a religion that opposes that freedom. Male supremacists, fundamentalists, and the Catholic Church finally have met their match. Feminists will work until the freedom to choose abortion is extended to women everywhere. Anne Nicole Gaylor, founder of the Freedom From Religious Foundation. We are goddesses. Life and death is our decision. The issues that control freaks bring up, is the fetus alive, is it morally right to kill, etc., are non-issues. I don't think there's even a question for most of us that life is life, fully divine. The issue is, our religious creed is, thou art goddess. Do we mean it or not? Is it true or not? Are we willing to deny anyone else the right to interfere in our choices as mother, goddess, about how we handle our sexuality and our fertility and our motherhood because we assume 100% responsibility for all of our actions and their consequences? Are we goddess, or do we try in vain to abdicate this responsibility? Tess Colney, a member of the Gay and Activist Church of All Worlds, responding to the pagans who claim to be pro-life. Witch speak from a Catholic feminist. There is no theological or scientific consensus on the beginning of human life. The job of religious progressives is to clearly state that women are to be trusted, that women have and will continue to make just and person-enhancing choices about the quality of life, beginning with the quality of women's lives. We need to develop a society where women's reproductive choice is normative and where reproductive options are considered a human right. Women's right to choose is what I, as a Catholic, dare to call sacramental. Reproductive choice is a sacred trust, and women are more than equal to the task. Bringing this to public expression, praising our choices, as poet Maggie Piercy has said, is something that a just society will celebrate as sacramental. Second, fathers' rights need to be considered, but they are far down the ethical ladder when it comes to who decides about abortion. I mean especially lesbian mothers who have the right, not the privilege, to use reproductive technology to choose to have children by self-insemination. We no longer consider it artificial. Third, in a just society, every health maintenance organization, every insurance company, and every group practice will include abortion as a regular part of its services without the need to agonize, specialize, or ostracize when the word is mentioned. It reminds me of the doctors who have chosen not to treat people with AIDS. In a just society, such doctors would, as Dr. Mervyn Silverman suggested, get another kind of work. Mary E. Hunt, Abortion in a Just Society. Conscience, the newsletter of Catholics for a Free Choice, July-August, 1988. Abortion is a sacrifice to Artemis. When my turn came for an abortion, I stretched out on the table, feet in the stirrups, ready to let my little darling go. I realized that even if my head and my heart accepted the loss, my uterus still saw it as a mortal threat and was protesting with all its strength in an effort to protect its little lodger. I was very proud of my uterus for doing its job so well. The next day, life went back to normal. But curiously, several friends I met asked me, "What's going on with you? You're so radiant today. You're absolutely glowing." What's going on is that I've just had an abortion and lived an impossible love and accompanied a great reconciliation with myself. But it was my secret and my gift. Christianity taught us to be ashamed of our bodies, of some of our emotions, of femininity, and many therapists are busy treating the embarrassment that lingers in the subconscious, even when we think we've rid ourselves of old religious strictures. When an abortion is necessary, not only should there be no shame, but there should be a new consensus that to have a child who cannot adequately be cared for is shameful. The same quality allows us to visualize a world of increasing respect for children, a world in which one can occasionally resort to abortion when it is necessary to sacrifice the fetus to a higher cause, namely, the love of children and the refusal to see them suffer. Abortion as a sacrifice to Artemis. Abortion as a sacrament. For the gift of life to remain pure, one must preserve in oneself an intact strength, inviolable and radically feminine. This is the Artemisian part of the anima, which guards the untamed zone of our psyche, without which we risk becoming over-domesticated human beings, too easily touchable. Jeanette Paris, The Sacrament of Abortion, Spring Publications, 1992. Abortion Grieving Rituals. The lights were low, and Native American flute music played softly. A counselor held the woman's hand, whispering words of comfort as she began to surface from a guided meditation. Then the doctor showed the woman a covered silver bowl that held the tiny remains of her 6-week pregnancy. She curled her fingers around his, and her face, now damp with tears, softened as he began their ceremony of letting go. "We ask your blessing in the name of love, Dr. Curtis Boyd began softly. Before becoming a doctor, Boyd was a foot-washing Baptist minister in rural East Texas. He left the fold but took with him an abiding faith in the power of ceremony to heal, honor, and comfort. Women, because of what they are bombarded with in the media and by anti-abortion groups, get the message that what they are doing is wrong and that they are bad people, Boyd says. A ceremony says the woman is a good and caring person who made the best decision she could under difficult circumstances. It also gives her a way to honor the fetus, to be aware of her grief, and to express her loss. This particular afternoon, in the soft light of the surgery room, Boyd concluded the ceremony with a prayer. "We ask that you honor this woman's courage and bless her and her family as they move forward in their lives." Patricia O'Connor, Abortion Mill Counselor. The sacred ground of an abortuary. The Albany Times Union reported that religious leaders in favor of abortion gathered with 36 others in Schenectady, New York on January 23, 2008, to bless an 18,000-square-foot abortion center in support of the Roe v. Wade ruling, the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion nationwide. The various religious leaders in attendance participated in the ceremony with religious language and ritual actions. The following are excerpts from the article. The Reverend Larry Phillips of Schenectady's Emmanuel Friedens Church declared the ground sacred and holy, where women's voices and stories are welcomed, valued, and affirmed. Sacred ground where women are treated with dignity, supported in their role as a moral decision maker. Sacred ground where the violent voices of hatred and oppression are quelled. The Reverend Abby Norton Levering led the group in prayers for the center's doctors and staff. "We pray that you will make this a place of safety and give a sense of sanctuary," she said. Rabbi Matt Cutler of Temple Gates of Heaven blew the shofar as a renewal of commitment to keep reproductive rights in the hands of women. The Reverend Bill Levering, senior pastor of First Reformed Church of Schenectady, said the right to privacy is endowed by God. "There are some decisions that are left to the individual. Even God respects the right of privacy. We make women into children when we say they cannot control their own bodies," Levering said. Phillips led everyone outside, where they laid their hands on the brick and limestone as the minister declared, "This is sacred ground." The clergyman from hell. Gracious and loving God, be with all those brave souls who make abortion possible. Hold them in your loving embrace and keep them safe. Doctors, nurses, clinic staff, administrators, janitors and counselors, and receptionists. All those who labor to provide abortions to those in need. Bless them and keep them safe from harm and harassment, intimidation and fear. Hear us, O God, as we lift up our voices to you and say, in all your many names, Amen. The Reverend Matthew Westfox, United Church of Christ. Satan's benediction. Let the spirit of Dr. Tiller live on. With the murder of Dr. Tiller, our movement, our world, lost a great man. We mourn his loss, but we remember that his spirit lives on, that any time a doctor or nurse or a clinic practitioner goes to work to provide abortion care to those in need, the spirit of Dr. Tiller lives on. That any time an elected official submits a bill or casts a vote in favor of justice, in favor of clinic defense, in favor of access, that the spirit of Dr. Tiller lives on. That every time we come to a vigil and say, "No more violence, no more killings, clinic workers must work in peace," the spirit of Dr. Tiller lives on. That every time we give our hearts through gifts of time or money or energy or volunteerism, we make it possible for women to have access to needed services, and the spirit of Dr. Tiller lives on. By doing all we can do to make abortions accessible and safe, the spirit of Dr. Tiller lives on. Gracious and loving God, let your strength flow through all of us. Let all of us honor the memory of this great man and keep his spirit with us as we work for justice, work for access, and work together to make sure that no doctor, no administrator, no clinic worker is ever murdered again. Reverend Matthew Westfox. Baptize your baby after killing her. The website of the former late-term abortionist George Tiller contained a macabre portrayal of the depths to which some in the industry would stoop to mollify the innate human revulsion towards the practice of abortion. The services offered by the abortionist Tiller and his clinic's chaplain are truly gruesome. The following was reproduced from the website of the former abortion mill. Many patients request a remembrance of their baby to take home with them. The following lists items and services that some of our previous patients have found helpful in their emotional recovery. Everyone approaches this experience with their own unique emotional, spiritual, and cultural background. There is no right way or wrong way, just your way. Once the process of healing has begun, you may want to consider a token of the precious time you and your baby had together. All of these features of our program will be discussed with you while you are with us. Viewing your baby after delivery. Holding your baby after delivery. Photographs of your baby. Baptism of your baby with or without a certificate. Footprints and handprints of your baby. Certificate of premature miscarriage. Cremation. An urn for ashes. Arrangement of burial in either Wichita or your home state. Arrangement of amniocentesis, autopsy. Medical photographs and x-rays for your healthcare professional. Grief is a very complex emotion, which is expressed in many different ways. We will attempt to accommodate your individual requests to the very best of our abilities. Transcript of the audio recording of Dr. Tiller in his advertisement of the above services. If you wish to see the baby, we call this an identification and separation encounter. About 2 to 3 hours after you deliver and after the twilight anesthesia has worn off, so that you will remember the process, we will bring the baby to you either at the bedside or we will go to our quiet room and we will bring the baby to you there. During this encounter, we will describe to you what's right with your baby. We will identify what's wrong with your baby. You may want to hold the baby. We can take pictures of you and the family holding the baby if you wish, and that is not an uncommon request. The identification separation encounter may be very brief, 5 or 10 minutes. It may even last less than that. Or the identification separation encounter may involve 2 or 3 hours of bonding with the baby. The identification that this is your baby and you have had a delivery. We understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that the difficult part of this process is not the premature delivery of the stillborn. We understand that the easy part of this process is the premature delivery of the stillborn. The difficult part of this process is saying goodbye to the relationship that you have had with your baby, saying goodbye to the hopes and the dreams that you have for this. You have placed this baby in your life someplace, and you simply have to start the process of saying goodbye. When you have finished your identification encounter, you will separate from the baby by giving the baby to us, and we will begin the process of saying goodbye on a long-term basis, and you will begin your journey into growth, recuperation, recovery, and healing. Dr. Tiller's chaplain, Reverend George Gardner, had his own section on the website, too. Meet our chaplain, George Gardner. The chaplaincy program is designed to bring spiritual resources to those who come to the clinic for help and assistance. Spiritually, abortion is acceptable in 10 of the world's religions, and in Christianity, many denominations affirm and uphold the right of a woman to make the choice of abortion. The chaplaincy program works with people from all religious backgrounds, as well as those who are not part of a spiritual tradition. The program offers individual counseling, group counseling, and the celebration of spiritual sacraments such as baptism of the stillborn fetus and blessings for the aborted fetus. The program works with many different religions and is prepared to do or arrange for religious services from any spiritual religion. The Services of Women's Healthcare Services is a coordinated effort so that every patient and significant other can experience the healing of body, mind, and spirit. The following prayer services to justify the killing of a baby were composed by Diane N. New. The first two are currently published by Catholics for a free choice. Liturgy for Seeking Wisdom. Background. This liturgy will help a woman decide whether to bring her pregnancy to term or to have an abortion. Centering. Play soothing instrumental music quietly in the background. Candle lighting. Light candle. Absorb its power. pray. Prayer. Gracious and loving Holy Wisdom, fill me with wisdom that I may see clearly the choice that I need to make. Bless me and comfort me with your Spirit. Visualization. See yourself walking on a path through the woods. You are walking into the future. At the end of this path, see yourself in 10 years, if you decide to bring this pregnancy to term. Pause for 3 minutes and listen to yourself. Now begin again. Pause 15 seconds. See another path through the woods. Walk along this path. At the end of this path, see yourself in 10 years if you do not bring this pregnancy to term. Pause for 3 minutes and experience what this is like. After you have visualized these two pathways, find a cozy room with a comfortable chair. Sit in this chair and think about what you have seen. Pause for as long as you like. Reflection. Sit and watch the candle burn. Write down your thoughts in a journal and/or share your insights. Closing. Wisdom comes when we reflect on our life and make choices based on honesty and truth. Wisdom lives within us. Listen to her, trust her, talk to her whenever you need to. She is your friend. Song. I found God in myself. For colored girls who have considered suicide, when the rainbow is enough, I found God in myself. I found God in myself, and I loved her fiercely. I found God in myself. Blow out the candle when you are finished. Do something comforting. For example, drink a cup of tea or take a warm shower. Liturgy of Affirmation for Making a Difficult Decision. Background. This liturgy affirms that a woman has made a good and holy decision. It provides strength and healing after making a difficult decision. It brings closure to an often intense and emotional process. It is intended to be celebrated with friends. Gathering. The celebrant invites friends, and if appropriate, the partner, to gather in a circle. She welcomes them and introduces the liturgy. Song. A favorite comforting song, one that the woman likes. Prayer. Blessed are you, Holy One, for your presence with name of woman. Praise be you, Mother and Father God, that you have given your people the power of choice. We are saddened that the life circumstances of woman's name, or if appropriate, woman's name and her partner's name, are such that she has had to choose to terminate her pregnancy. Such a choice is never simple. It is filled with pain and hurt, with anger and questions, but also with integrity and strength. We rejoice in her attention to choice. Our beloved sister has made a very hard choice. We affirm her and support her in her decision. We promise to stand with her in her ongoing life. Blessed are you, Holy One, for your presence with her. Reading. Choose a poem, reading, or scripture verse that captures the message of the liturgy. Sharing. The celebrant invites the woman and her partner to speak about her, their decision to have an abortion. If there is a symbolic gesture that expresses her or their feelings, such as sprinkling flower petals or sharing dried flowers, invite her or them to incorporate. Blessing of woman's name. Dear woman, we love you very deeply. As a sign of our affirmation of you and of your choice, we give you this bowl and this oil. Oil soothes the bones that are weak and weary. Oil soothes the bones that are weary from making a difficult decision. Oil strengthens and heals. We bless you with this oil. Each person takes oil from the bowl and anoints the woman's hands, face, feet, neck, shoulders, and/or head. Each closes the blessing by embracing her. Dear woman, the bowl is a tangible symbol of this day. When times are difficult, and such days come to each of us, look at this bowl and remember our love for you. Closing song. A blessing song like the following closes the liturgy. Blessing song from the album Circling Free by Marisi Silvestro. Bless you, my sister. Bless you on your way. You have roads to roam before your home and winds to speak your name. So go gently, my sister. Let courage be your song. You have words to say in your own way and stars to light your night. And if you ever grow weary and your heart song has no refrain, just remember, we'll be waiting to raise you up again. And bless you, our sister, bless you in our way, and we'll welcome home all the life you've known and softly speak your name. And we'll welcome home all the self you own and speak softly your name. Bless you, my sister, bless you on your way. Catholics for a Free Choice. A Liturgy of Challenge. Filled with the fullness of this day, with the stories of our sisters, with the bread of our community, let us go forth to stand, sit, cry, pray with women making reproductive choices, especially the difficult choice of abortion, to speak to legislators, family members, and friends of our support for women's decisions, to challenge our churches, synagogues, and holy congregations to affirm women as moral agents, to encourage ministers, rabbis, priests, and counselors to counsel women on free choice, to the city centers and county corners to tell women that all of their choices, including their choice for abortion, are holy and healthy. In the name of the Holy One, God of our mothers and Goddess of our fathers, to bring about justice. Song, Be Not Afraid.